We want to welcome you to worship. I see lots of families here today on this special day, Mother's Day, and we certainly want to say a special word of thanks to our mothers as we celebrate this day together. If you're visiting with us for the first time and you've never filled out one of our visitors' cards, we would love for you to do that and drop it in the offering plate. One of the treasures in my life has always been church. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." And then verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Would you pray with me? Lord, we have gathered here on this beautiful Sunday to worship you. We need to hear from you today. It is a time when those sitting in this congregation, as every Sunday, but especially on a day like today, we come with different emotions. We come with different feelings about this day. Some have lost a mother. Some weren't blessed with a very good mother. While others treasure the gift of motherhood and how our mothers loved us and cared for us. And some will celebrate today with their mother. And so in the midst of all of these kind of emotions, we gather here in this place to worship you. Mindful that life is like that. There are often many times when we gather that we don't share the same emotions as our world, as our culture, or even as our neighbor. And yet, Lord, you have invited us to be mindful of what we treasure in life. Of what we invest ourselves in. Family, such a special place, worthy of our investment. Church, such a worthy place and worthy of our investment. And our walk with you, for where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Would you speak to us today as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we go any further, if you are here and you are a mom, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, and if you're able to do that. I have been in church all of my life, and I am so extremely mindful that if you ladies were absent, we'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd be in a lot of trouble. Because not only are you the backbone in your home, you are indeed the backbone in our church. And God uses your giftedness and your love and your strength to encourage us. So on this, your day, we want to say thank you. Those of us that are seated, and maybe standing too, because our moms are here. Let's give a hand to our mothers. Can we do that? Thank you. You may be seated.
Oh, love that will not let me go. Hymn number 292. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with this place and time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the extra special blessing we call mom and the many blessings that come with that person. Please give comfort and peace for those whose moms have gone to be with you. And we ask that you use this offering to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. You guys okay? All right. I have a picture I want to show you. Who do you think that this might be a picture of? You got any ideas? Who do you think this might be? This is my mother. Today's Mother's Day. My mother's in heaven now with Jesus, but I still think about her every day and miss her every day. You're so blessed to have a good mother. This is Mother's Day. It's a real special day, especially for moms and for you. Have you hugged your mom today? I see some yeses. Good. I see a lot of heads nodding. If you haven't hugged your mom today, be sure you do and say what? Happy Mother's Day and I love you. That's right. That's right. Did you know the Bible talks about mothers, about godly mothers? Jesus had a special place in his heart for godly mothers. Let's read about godly mothers in Exodus, the very first book of the Bible, Exodus 20, number 12. Now, I want you to realize that this is one of the Ten Commandments. And God gave Moses these Ten Commandments. There are only ten, and one of these is about mothers and fathers. So it must have been pretty important, hadn't it? Listen to it. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So it must have been very, very important if God made it one of the Ten Commandments, don't you think? Does your mom carry a purse or a pocketbook? Most moms do. I have one today here, and I want you to pretend like that it is your mother's pocketbook, okay? Pretend like it's your mom's. We're going to see what's in here. Let's see. There's a box of tissue in your mom's pocketbook. usually there's a runny nose around, right? And moms use these to wipe away tears, your tears, other people's tears. Moms are good at that. We also have some money. You never know when you when you might need some money. Moms always have a little bit, and you might need some, hadn't you? Okay. Moms always want to look their best. They always have a brush or a comb. Plus, they want you to look your best, so they might need it for you. Okay. We also have a flashlight. We might be in the dark when the electricity goes out. Moms are like Boy Scouts. They're always prepared. So we might need this if the lights go out. All right. Something else we have is a mirror. You might need to check over. Moms always need to look really pretty, right? Moms are always pretty. We got some chewing gum. Maybe somebody's in a bad mood, somebody's sad. Something kind of sweet kind of pets you up, doesn't it? And I'll bet that your mom has some of this for you, maybe to keep you quiet in worship service. Does that ever happen? I bet it does. No. And she always carries a Bible in her pocketbook. The Bible is a guide. And when she's trying to raise you on the right path, she looks in this Bible for information and for guidance. Because this is the guide to raise you and to teach you about God. Godly mothers are so wonderful. They try to teach you about God. You listen to your mother and your dad. Because honor means to be respectful. It means to listen to them. Because they're older and wiser and they know what you need to do. So be sure you give your mom a hug today. Special hug. Tell her you love her and tell her Happy Mom's Day. Okay, you promise? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for godly mothers, those that try to teach their children about you. We ask you to bless these children and let them understand how important that is. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, have a good day.
Told me.
She's the one that taught me about Jesus. I know when I went to Campbell College and everybody had to take Bible 101 and 102. 101 was the Old Testament and 102 was the New Testament. And as we studied those Bible stories, I always heard them in my mother's voice. And but men, don't let your wives have all the fun. You all get in there and read the Bible stories to your children too. 548. Oh, what a wonder it is. Let's stand.
This morning, as we Look at the back of your insert. You'll see our prayer concerns. We also want to give thanks for Mr. Zachary Patrick Lambert. 8 pounds, 11 ounces. And congratulations to Kevin and Erica and Wayne and Linda also. As you look on the back and see our prayer concerns, I do want to add one name. That is the name of Chris Hall. We want to be remembering Chris. He is Shauna Merritt's fiance, and he has come down this past week unexpectedly while at work with blood clots in his lungs. He was in the hospital at Wake Med for several days and will be recuperating. We want to keep him lifted up in our prayers. Jerry. It's good to see you sitting there. We are delighted to have you with us. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are always moving. Sometimes they are lifted up, and sometimes they are downtrodden. And yet, Lord, as we walk through life with these ups and downs, make us mindful that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And help us to value those things. And on Mother's Day, it's easy to value the gift of a blessed mom. And Lord, we have a list of names here, folks that have had difficult weeks, some recuperating from surgery, some dealing with unexpected illness, some recuperating, some continuing to struggle. We have some who've lost loved ones this past week and need your comfort and your grace. And so there we are, Lord, with hearts up and down, with good things and bad things, with successes and failures, with joy and sorrow. And so now we've come to hear your voice and allow you to help us to make those priority adjustments in our own life that we might indeed be all that you created us to be, that we might have families that would then be all they could possibly be, that we would then have a church that could be all it could possibly be, and then we could influence our community in every way possible. Lord, that is our goal, that you would allow our light to shine, that you would allow our heart to treasure the things that you treasure. Be with us as we continue to worship you, as we lean upon you, in Christ's name.
Oh, hail, Lord, 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 Lord
Thank you, choir. I wanted to say, as they kept singing it traditionally, I wanted to say to y'all, just wait for it. Wait for it. It's coming. It's coming. Thank you. As they sang that, as we were getting ready to come out, I mentioned even in the prayer that I prayed with the choir before we came out, too many times we lean on our own understanding, don't we? Leaning on the everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior. If you would, I'd invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I'll give you a hint, it's right past 1 Timothy. Helped you out a bunch, didn't it? While you're turning there, what can we say of young Timothy? We know that he became, I guess, Paul's most reliable source. He became the generation after Paul to continue his work and to plant the churches and to nourish the churches. But if you could say a word about Timothy, the word that comes to my mind is hesitant. He was hesitant. And a lot of the times when you read the writings at Paul, in fact, the passage we're going to read today, you can see an encouragement and maybe just a little bit of a prodding. You can do this, Timothy. You can make a difference. I know why you can make a difference. I want you to know you can make a difference. And so today we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read the first 7 verses as our text. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a few moments today that we might indeed leave this place saying we have heard your voice and we are ready to go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we continue to look at the hope of disciples today, we want to look at a place of love. And certainly I have in my mind that of home. We said a couple of years ago that the foundation is not the church for the faith. That's not the foundation at all. It can never be the foundation. The foundation is the home. The home is where we need to read the stories of Jesus, where we need to have the conversations, where we need to pray, where we need to praise. And church needs to be the outgrowth of homes that are a place of godly love. And moms, on Mother's Day, well, I love a story I read about a teacher that was teaching about magnets. You know, magnets and how they are able to pick up iron and how they attract those metals and how strong they can be. And so at the end of the week, she was giving a test to her second graders after having taught them about magnets. And she said, I am on the test this question. I am a six-letter word beginning with M, and I pick up things. Who am I? And half the class wrote mother. What do we pick up? They tell us that by the time a child is 7 years old, their compass is set. You ever said things when the two-year-old was in the room because, after all, it was just a two-year-old? But that two-year-old was just as much a human being as you are. And that two-year-old was learning as much as you've learned today. Home. A home is a place where we need to understand we have a call, but we have a marvelous opportunity. I'm excited that Rebecca is going to be working with us this summer as our youth and children intern. And she will put her fingerprints on the lives of those that we make available to her. And those will be good fingerprints. But to shape the lives of the little ones, to shape the lives of the little ones is our call. We struggle. I mentioned this morning during our business meeting, as I read another passage in the Sermon on the Mount that I began worship with today, as we talked about where our heart is and our treasure, they're connected. They're so vitally connected that where the treasure is where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And every one of us here know what we treasure. Treasure. That word just... it sounds more intimate and more close, doesn't it, to treasure. I can like something, but to treasure it? To treasure it? And then that second passage was that we are to be the light of the world. And we are to let our light so shine before others. And no place do we shine our light more brightly and more privately and with more impact than in our home. That's where our lights really shine. Faith. Faith. And in this passage where Paul is trying to encourage young Timothy to fan his faith, Timothy wasn't really doing bad. He just wasn't doing all he could. And too often I fall in that category. How about you? I'm not doing bad. I'm just not really doing all God has gifted me to do. And Paul is talking about fanning the flame. I love verse 6 where he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. He says, remember, it's interesting because sometimes we don't get it, because it's hard for us, especially if we're not church historians, to understand how big a shift has happened when Jesus came into the world. Because up until this moment, the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the one that would come and set all men free. They were looking for the one that would establish the kingdom of God on earth. One that had been promised to them. One the prophets had foretold. One that every Jew was hopefully and earnestly looking for. And Jesus comes. The Messiah arrives. Do you remember what Jesus said? I come to my own, and they don't even receive me. But such as do, I give eternal life. Powerful promise. Most scholars believe that most likely it was Eunice who first became a Christian and then led her mother, Lois, to recognize and embrace that Christ was the Messiah. We might say, how in the world could they miss it? But how many of us are really living as though the Lord might come today? We are prioritizing our lives in such a way that if He comes today, we're ready. That's the job of the family, and we need to understand that the biggest responsibility is to create a godly place. I remember the story of years and years ago of the child that was being introduced to the pastor. And the pastor, just making conversation, said, well, how old are you? And the little boy looked at his dad. And his dad said, go ahead, son, you can tell him. And he said, I'm 12. Because last week, they let all the children 11 and younger in free to the movie. So last week he was 11. The dad said, joking. Godly homes. Little things. Oh, they're not important. Godly homes. Today on Mother's Day, as we honor the matriarchs of our family, it is a wonderful time for us to examine how we are doing, because what we do matters. And I think sometimes we make it too hard. And there's a great story from the 19th century, back in the days when Ulysses Grant was president. For you see, in 1853 at Lime Rock Island at Newport, Rhode Island, there was a man who took a job as being the director of the lighthouse. Hosea Lewis was his name. And that man had to tend the light. He had to polish it. He had to make sure the wick was right. He had to make sure the oil was right. He had to make sure all through the night that the light was shining brightly. And it often happened that if something happened to the light carer, the lighthouse carer, that his family, because they lived there, they lived in the lighthouse, had to carry on the work. And so it was that 4 years after Hosea took that responsibility, that he had a stroke. And the job fell to his oldest daughter, Ida. And Ida was still just a young girl, just entering into teenage years. But it fell her responsibility. And so now she had the demanding task of making sure the lighthouse operated, oil was right, wicks were trimmed, the reflectors were polished, and she also had to take care of her father, who could no longer take care of himself. And she also had to make sure that her younger siblings made their way to school. It was quite a task. On March 29, 1869, Ida saved two drowning servicemen from a nearby Fort Adams. A few weeks before that, she had pulled four from a capsized boat, and she gained her strength by rowing her brothers and sisters 500 yards from the lighthouse to the mainland to take them to school. Most girls her age couldn't navigate a rowboat, especially in rough seas, but Ida could. In early February, she found two soldiers that were crossing the Newport, and the ice gave way, and Ida quickly came to their aid, so much so that President Ulysses Grant visited her. She received the highest U.S. award for life-saving. 25 people she saved. The last when she was 63, when she saved a friend who had fallen into the water on her way to visit the island. Ask how she found the strength and the courage for such a feat. I want you to listen to Ida's answer. How do you find courage and strength? Moms, how do you find courage to be the kind of mom that cuts against the culture, that pushes against the things that in our heart we know aren't what our children need, but, oh, they think they need them. How do we stand in the midst of such a place? Listen to Ida's answer. I don't know, she said. I'm not particularly strong. The Lord Almighty gives it to me when I need it. That's all. The Lord Almighty gives it to me when I need it. That's all. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, children, grandparents, do we rise up every day saying, God, give me the strength that today, I'll be a godly, you fill in the blank, mom, a godly dad, a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly friend. Today, I will, by your grace, allow you to fan me. I love that verse, verse 6, because that faith, it not only needs to be first in our families, but it also needs to be fanned, and it needs to be fanned frequently. I had come out here earlier, somebody saw me, and I got this. It's a light. And these things work differently than I couldn't find a Bic. You ever remember the Bic that you can flip, and it'll spark. It's got the flint right there, and you can see it, and it'll just spark its little heart out. But it won't light. Well, these light differently. You wouldn't see it spark if I tried, because that's what I was going to show you, but oh well, that won't work. But think about that, because I remember growing up singing a song from the musical. We did the musical when I was a youth back in the day, Pass It On. And there was a song that you probably remember from that, and it goes, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up in its glowing." That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you share His love, you want to pass it on. But then I thought, have you ever been out trying to start a fire and all you get is a spark? You know, you got that little piece of paper, and if you get that paper going, you can start the bigger fire and you can get the blaze of leaves or whatever you might be trying to set on fire. But all it does is spark. It just sparks. It just sparks and sparks. And it won't catch hold. I know it has to do with butane and all of that. But all I know is when I've got one of those lighters and I'm trying to start a fire, it's an aggravating thing and a spark's not enough. We can't just be sparks. That's the very image that He's trying to portray. He's saying to fan the flame. If you've ever started a fire as a Boy Scout or out on your own using flint rock or steel or some other way, you know what it is, that once you get that little spark going, that little ember going, you've got to take care of it and you've got to fan it and you've got to allow it to get hold. And then suddenly, when the fire is going, it makes a big difference. It only takes a spark, but friends, we can't remain a spark, because a spark won't cook food. A spark won't warm our homes. We need the flames. Today, I pray that God might allow us to see our need to be Holy Spirit flames, not just sparks. Lois and Eunice had passed down a living and life-changing faith to Timothy. What kind of faith are we going to be passing down? In the book, No Bad Dogs, a British dog trainer by the name of Barbara Woodhouse says that dogs understand love better than we do. Now, I may describe your dog here in a minute. You just go with me on this. It's really not about dogs that I'm talking. In a dog's mind, the master or the mistress to love, honor, and obey is absolutely a necessity. The love is dormant in a dog until it's brought to full bloom by an understanding of the owner. We might talk about a pack and a pack leader. And then she says this. Thousands of dogs appear to love their owners. They welcome them home with enthusiastic wagging of the tail and jumping up. They follow them about the house happily. And to the normal person seeing the dog, the affection is true and deep. But to the experienced dog trainer, this outward show is not enough. The true test of love takes place when the dog has the opportunity to get out on its own, outside the house, as the door's left open. You ever had a dog that wouldn't come when you called it? You know that experience, don't you? You see, the dog trainer says, the dog loves only its home and the comforts and the attention it gets, but it really doesn't love the master. It loves the benefits, but not the master. The real test of faith is, do we love the master? Do we love the master? Oh, there are benefits to being a part of the church. You might have a wedding, might have a funeral, might have a birthday, might need somebody to bring food when you're sick. There are benefits. But do we love the master? Do we love the master with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul? Are we just sparks? Or are we fanned into flames? And finally this morning, faith that overcomes our fear. Timothy, bless his heart, he was timid. He was hesitant. He wanted to do all he could, but things got in the way. I wonder if things get in our way. This is what I know. This is what I believe more every day. The world needs disciples of Jesus Christ to exhibit Holy Spirit power in their life. I want to say that again. The world needs disciples of Jesus Christ to exhibit Holy Spirit power at work in our lives. I remember years and years ago reading a story about a man who for almost 8 years had ridden in a carpool. He lived out in the suburb, and they had about a 45-minute ride into work. And he rode with the same group of people. They had been in the carpool for 8 years. They all lived in the community. They worked at different jobs, but they were close enough, and so they rode together. And then one afternoon, tragically, in an accident on a Saturday, he was killed. The next Monday, as the carpool was going to work, they were reading the obituary. And it mentioned his activity in his local church, that he held several offices within the church. And then one person in the carpool commented, "Oh, I didn't know John was a Christian. I didn't know John was a Christian." You see, sometimes we become timid, don't we? We become timid out in the world. It's as though the world has told the church this lie. Do all you want to in your building. Just keep it in your building. Say all you can sing all you want to. You can jump up and down. You can hoop and holler. You can have Bible studies. You can talk about how important it is to share your faith. But the one thing you can't do is take it outside your walls. It's got to stay there. Everybody has a right to think what they want to think and believe what they want to believe and do what they want to do. And you just keep your stuff to yourself. Brothers and sisters, there is no church if we keep it to ourselves. There is no gospel if we keep it to ourselves. Sure, people have a chance and an opportunity to believe what they want to believe. But you and I have a call by God to share our faith. Unafraid, boldly. If you read the book of Acts, one word you'll find over and over and over again is boldly. They shared their faith. Boldly, they told others about what it was all about. Why do we need to share it boldly? Let me end it with one more conversation that a mom got. And I hope it reminds you as it reminded me when I read this little story of what our call is as God's people. His name was Mark, and he was 9 years old, and one day he got a call, or his mom got a call from the teacher. Well, moms never like calls from teachers, you know. Those just usually don't go well. in the middle of a school day. But the call was, and you could tell that the teacher was totally flabbergasted on the other end. You could tell she was just in shock. And she started the conversation, "Miss Smith, something very unusual happened today in your son's third grade class." Well, Miss Smith was about to swallow her heart right now. "Your son did something that surprised me so much I had to let you know immediately. Mom's not doing any better yet." The mom began to grow more worried. The teacher continued, "Nothing like this has happened in all my years of teaching." "This morning," she goes on to say, "I was teaching a lesson on creative writing. As I always do, I use the story of the ant and the grasshopper." You probably remember that story or some version of it. "The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper, he just plays all summer and does no work. Then winter comes. The grasshopper begins to starve because he has no food. And so he begins to beg, 'Please, Mr. Ant, you have so much food. Please let me eat with you too.' And then I said," the teacher said, "'Boys and girls, your job is to write the ending to the story.' As in all the years past," she said, most of the students said, "The ant shared her food, and both the grasshopper and the ant, although thinner, made it through the winter. A few wrote, 'No, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked this past summer. Now I have just enough food for myself.' And the ant lived, and the grasshopper died. But your son, he ended the story in a different way. A way I'd never seen before. He wrote, 'So the ant gave all his food to the grasshopper. And the grasshopper lived through winter. And the ant died. And I had also had him to write a picture or draw a picture. And at the bottom of his page, your son Mark drew three crosses." Three crosses. "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." Brothers and sisters, that's what you and I have to share with the world. That there is an eternal life, that there is a heaven that God has created for all those who will follow him and trust him and commit their life to him. And your job and my job, and let the Holy Spirit fan us into a flame that we'll share it everywhere we go with every person we see, that we'll give them that eternal food of life that can make a difference. Oh, I'm grateful for Miss Eunice and Miss Lois for giving Timothy a powerful faith. And my prayer as pastor is that our homes would be that kind of godly place. We teach our children, that we teach our spouses. If we're in a single home, we spend time alone with God, making sure we are indeed fanning the faith in our lives. Because in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of this culture, we don't need a spark. We need a flame. We need to allow that light to be set on a hill. So it gives off light. And by that light, others will see their way by those three crosses to glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the gift of a godly home. And Lord, there may be someone here today who's now an adult and say, "I didn't have a godly home." And today, Lord, would you impress upon him or her the desire and the need to be and to establish and to fan the spark into a flame of a godly home. And Lord, all of us here would probably say, my home could be better. It could be better. It could be more godly. I could make some choices right now. I could change some things. We could begin some things. We could stop doing some things. We could make some adjustments that would make such an impact on all my family. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we are here now bowed before you and you alone, and each of us will make decisions, help us that we will indeed pass on a living faith, that it is the main thing, and that the difference that we make will be first in our family, then in our church, and ultimately in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is page 567, Share His Love. This morning, if God is calling you to make some decision for Him, whether public or private, we invite you to do so as we stand together. Ask you to be seated for just a second. Jared, you got the floor, buddy. Don't say I preached too long, you sat too long. I'm not going to hear that.
Operation went well, but I picked up a bad virus, and it was bad. And if it wasn't for y'all coming to pray for me, the Lord came down and healed me. Thanks to y'all for praying for me. It was just wonderful, and now we are doing good. So thank y'all so much for the prayers.
Amen.
And while I was over, hold just a minute, we went over to... I couldn't eat anything. I mean, I was just so sick. I looked up, and there was Ann and Jack Marks coming over. She had some cornbread, turnip greens. I couldn't eat a thing. And Gary called now and said, anything he can eat. Well, let's try a milkshake. So he brought a milkshake. Couldn't do it. It was a week or so I didn't eat anything. But I went back to the hospital, and the Lord came down and healed me. Thanks for y'all for calling on me. I appreciate it so much. Thank y'all.
God bless each of you for all your calls and cards, everything that you've done. I'll never forget you more.
Y'all may stand. So they're good for another 100,000 miles now. I'm excited. I am excited. And, let me call our attention to several things. First, I hope you will see the announcement from the nominating committee. We have what you did last year over in the little kitchen in a cubby, like we do at Christmas time with the cards. But also we have some forms over there for you to fill out. If you haven't been doing anything and you feel the Lord calling you, if you'll fill those out, there's a basket on top. Drop that in that we may have a record of that. Please also remember we've got a blood drive this Friday, and we need donors. There's a sign-up sheet there. Also, this coming Saturday, there's an opportunity for us to go to the museum. If you'd like to, there's a place to sign up. They've got a Billy Graham exhibit there this Saturday. We're trying to see if we've got enough for that trip to go. We need you to sign up. Rebecca, come stand with me real quickly. Congratulations, college graduate. That's exciting. We are blessed and voted this morning that Rebecca will be our summer intern. We are excited about God at work in her life. She has done that work before at other places, and we are excited to have her. So I know you will want to be praying for her and encouraging her. And when she calls you for volunteer help, you'll say, yes, I am ready. I am willing. But we're going to be praying for you. We are excited that you're here. I won't make you join me today, but when you get started, I'll let you stand with me at the back door, okay? You may return. Congratulations. Alex Shavers graduated. I'm going to go down a bad road, but you do see we got graduates in there. If your child is not there or you're not in there, we want to know because we've got another form we need to send. So if you're not there, it's your fault if you don't let us know, okay? Because we're trying to compile that list. I know we've added Alex and Tony, but we need to know all we can because on June the 5th, that's Graduate Sunday. We'll be looking forward to that good day. Any other announcement I need to make? Prayer walk on June the 21st. I hope you will plan to give us that afternoon to be much in prayer for God to work.
May 21.
Thank you. Yes, not 2 weeks. Two Saturdays. Absolutely. May. Thank you for that correction. Anything else? Happy Mother's Day. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people of faith in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Bless our homes. And Lord, remind us that the more we bless You in our homes, the more You'll bless us as Your people. And the more You'll bless others through us as Your people. In Christ's name.
Christ's love.